This is episode 28, recorded on October 28th, 2011. Pack and Poke's at, and the nurses too. Enjoy.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Pack and Poke's at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokesat. I am your unmutable and immutable host, Packard Sonic. On my filling in for Eric, who is on sabbatical this week, is Zach.
What's up?
And on my virtual left is Dan.
Hello.
And Vonnie will not be joining us again this night. Maybe next week, if we're lucky. So
I'm on the virtual right?
Yeah, you're on the virtual right tonight.
I don't feel comfortable over here.
I don't blame you.
It's too much tea. I need coffee and beer. There's just way too much tea over here.
Well, I'll hand you the virtual beer, Zach. How's
I appreciate
that?
It.
You feel better?
Thank you so much.
All right, there you go.
I feel much better.
All right, there you go.
Virtual beer with coffee. I'm waiting for Schlafly to get their coffee stout this year. So.
Isn't that a drink that you drink beer and coffee? Oh, well, whatever. It doesn't matter.
I am occupying the beer and coffee.
There you go.
Schlafly makes a stout with coffee, so.
Okay.
I just need Shiner and I'm good.
All right. Well, we have some corrections that we need to address, and we'll get to those right now.
Uh-oh.
We goofed. Our corrections this evening. I made a little mistake. The iPhone does have a translation where you can actually speak into it, and it will, and you can type into it as well to translate what you want to speak. Eric had made a little error last week. He said that the alleged rape that had happened for Occupy Wall Street actually happened in Occupy Cleveland and not at Wall Street. And there was another little error on mine. Reagan actually was instrumental in the escalation of the Cold War, but not any particular war in general. So there we go. We got those out of the way. Let's move right into our text news for this evening. The identity thief with 300,000 plus victim profiles, he got an 8-year sentence, and GPS tracking was very instrumental in helping bringing him down. Now, if you're out going to be why he had so many identities, obviously he's, you know, obviously a thief there, but I would hope of all those 300,000 plus that he had, mine wasn't one of them, of course. Why would he want mine? I think it would hurt him more than it would hurt me. No, but privacy, identity theft in this country is a big problem. And if you should always take steps to protect yourself. Always guard, like, your Social Security number and your home mailing address in some cases. I mean, we put these things on forms everywhere. And you should always be sure what you're dealing with when you're out there. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing this guy had 300,000 IDs. Obviously, he was, you know, looking to market these to other people, probably mm-hmm. in smaller blocks. It's kind of like dealing drugs.
Yeah.
The odd thing is, this guy was already, I don't think he was at the time, but he had already been on parole for identity theft at one point.
Yes.
It's crazy. And, you know, he's forging credit cards and government-issued IDs with his photograph or somebody else's photograph that he knows on it and using those IDs to buy all kinds of stuff and, you know, fencing that off. It's crazy. It's very easy to get a lot of information these days.
And, yes.
It's too easy to do nasty things with that information.
Yeah, the guy here, it says he also had apparently had been charged with conspiracy to commit bank fraud, and he got 30 years for that. In addition to his prisoner term, he was also sentenced to 5 years of supervised release. I mean, what are they going to supervise him? I mean, are they going to, like, follow him around, or is he just got to check in? I know while he's gone, he can still go out and do this stuff if he does it once. You know, 300,000, that's quite a number. Zach, your thoughts?
I don't get the whole mentality when it comes to con artists, because it's like they think they're getting a deal that they're doing, they're getting more money for less work, but it's still a job and there's no benefits. There's no medical plan. You have to pay for everything. and you get screwed over with the cops. I mean, when I go to work, cops aren't upset with what I do.
Yeah.
And exactly. And I get a steady paycheck and I have, and well, I don't have benefits anymore. Never mind. Maybe they have a better deal going, but I just don't understand the mentality because they think that they don't have to work, but they're working.
Yeah.
This is a job. It's hard. I mean, you were saying earlier, Dan, that this is easy. It's not easy. You have to put a lot of thought into it and work. And then you have to try to outthink the people that are trying to stop you from doing it.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. I mean, I have to be careful what I do. Otherwise, the cops get kind of irate with me, too. So. That would not be fun. Steve Jobs, a former chairman of Compaq and the current Mac user, reveals that Steve Jobs had asked Compaq to license the Mac operating system to them when Mac OS X originally came out. I know this is a Mac story, and I'm the only Mac guy on the channel here at the moment. But if this had gone through, and there had been some kind of deal made out, Windows machines, IBM machines would be running OS X or OS 10. I had actually on one previous show that I was on that I had discussed that this was a possibility. But I was kind of like, no one would want to put OS 10 on those type of machines because they couldn't control the platform, which in itself is kind of true. But I would have thought, I also said it would have been a greater market share for Apple. Your thoughts, Zach?
Well, this sort of thing is going to come up a lot now that Steve Jobs has passed away. Everybody's going to bring up whatever memories that they have. But I don't see how this is really... the wheeling and dealing was something that Steve Jobs was doing a lot. Whatever he was looking for any angle that he could back in those days, and mm-hmm. Compaq was a big gun at that time. Yes, if they had been able to close the deal, it could have changed the landscape. I probably still would be using a PC myself, but there would be an awful lot of other people who would have been exposed to Apple mm-hmm. that hadn't otherwise. So yeah, it could have made a change, but it's woulda, coulda, shoulda. I don't see he did a lot of wheeling and dealing, and a lot of the plans didn't go through, but some of the plans did. So yeah. The ones that did, that's history.
Yeah, you could actually, you would probably even using OS 10 on your Windows machine, basically right now, because it's an Intel chip. It's basically, there's not much difference between, with the exception of a little programming. You have almost the same kind of computer hardware inside your computer as I do on mine.
But it didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen.
The reason why people's computers are the way they are has as much to do with the inner politics of the industry as anything. But the fact is, it didn't go through. Are we talking about an alternate reality in which...
No, I was going to say that it's a possibility because it went...
But it's not a possibility. It didn't happen.
No, but I'm saying it is a possibility because back in when Steve Jobs originally left the company, they had made Apple had made deals with Power Computing, Motorola, and there's some other clone deals. So
he wined and dined the guy, and they talked about, you know, old times, mm-hmm. the small talk. But when it came down to pushing the deal, he offered the guy, and the guy said no.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Jobs probably did that with a lot of people. He would network. He would make connections. He would call up old friends. It's like, can you help me out? I want to do X with Y. And sometimes they'd say yes. Sometimes they'd say no. That was the nature of his business. That's what he did.
Yeah.
It was as much as inventing or getting the right people in the right room to get the inventing happening and coming up with ideas and bouncing them back and forth and pushing people. That's he would get people together and try to network. That was what he did. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Human engineering,
yes.
As much as actual engineering. So, but in this particular case, the guy listened to his spiel and said no.
Yeah,
that's history.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder. Maybe Steve was just asking too much. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, Apple has gone to great lengths to keep their software tied to their hardware.
Yes,
which Microsoft basically has never had the opportunity to do because they, you know, the MS-DOS was not wasn't tied to a hardware platform other than, you know, an IBM piece compatible PC.
Yeah.
And, you know, heck, I remember the days of, I still have a copy of IBM PC DOS around here somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, that went nowhere. And
Amiga
with Commodore was also very directly tied to the hardware and, you know, was inseparable. But Commodore had no marketing department and fell flat on their face with the idea. It's been a lot of trouble for Apple, but it's been very lucrative on the other hand.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember the Commodore 64. Quite a number of my friends had these things. It was quite the little box. But it was good for its time. I mean, but it was not much more than that, unfortunately.
Well, this is kind of the whole problem with proprietary. The idea of we want you to buy our stuff, and we don't want you to go to those other guys.
Right.
So we're going to build our hardware and software so that they're not compatible with the other guys, so you won't go over there. That's actually self-defeating because you're not as versatile as other products, and so the people will. When a person says, well, I want to do this, and it's like, well, you can't.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll go over to those other guys because they say I can.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
And then those other guys make more money than you, and you wonder why. It's because your product is proprietary and nobody wants to mess with it.
Right, exactly. And nowadays, a lot of people are making sure that their software is ported for as many systems as they possibly can.
Yeah, versatility.
Exactly.
It's actually a variation on evolution.
Yes. Exactly. This way they can go from one system to another, and I can run Windows on my Macs as well as my Mac operating system or Linux or whatever else.
Right.
When you go to a web page and you see HTTP and then your web address, that's generally known as an unsecure connection. When you go to your bank and you see HTTPS, that the S means it's supposed to be secure. However, and this is very important, a new attack tool is able to target the web connections using secure connections. It's a THC-SSL-DOS tool, which was released on the 24th, which attacks the secure sockets layer, which is also referred to as SSL. Now, that means if you're in a communication, let's say you go to a cafe or you're on or another open Wi-Fi access and you're on a secure connection, you could still potentially be hacked. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's the using secure sockets layer and, you know, ensures that your traffic between yourself and the web server is encrypted, but one of the other things is it's used primarily as a means to identify the web server that you're on, that you can be sure that, okay, yes, this web server belongs to this company and it's been verified by this other company that I trust. And if you can't have that system of trust, it's pointless. It's broken. We need a new system.
Yes. Wonder what we'll come up with this next. HTTPSS? I don't know. Zach, your thoughts?
There is no such thing as an unhackable program. There's no such thing as a security system that is impenetrable. People will continue to pound at the gate, and the gatekeepers will have to continue to fortify their defenses. But
right.
You're never going to get an HTTPSSS we're perfect ..
Yeah.
It's impossible. They're just going to keep, and you've got white hats and you've got black hats, and the white hats claim that they're doing this for good to try to bring attention to the holes in security.
Many
of them
are.
Also send that information out publicly so that everybody knows about it, including the black hats. So it's
right.
Kind of like maybe if a couple of you black hats go in there and cause some trouble, maybe they'll think about fixing this.
In that case, yeah, there are some instances where there have been instances where the white hat hackers have brought these holes, security holes, to the attention of the corporation. The corporation is, it's not a big deal.
Right.
So they say, okay, then that's what's called a zero-day exploit, because then they say, okay, if you're not going to do something about this, I'm just going to tell the world,
right.
And then everybody goes, hey, we can attack this now. And then they go,
and that's
oh,
what's happening
yeah.
now. That's what this is, essentially. This news report is, it's essentially White Hats telling a journalist, there's a hole here. Go, you know, tell them they need to fix it.
Yes.
They're not listening to us.
Exactly. And they really should. And industries.
But what's the point? I mean, because they'll fix this, and then they'll find another hole will get found. There is no way of making an impenetrable fortress. There is not a possible way of doing that.
Well, hopefully, eventually at some point we'll be more secure again. So
until they figure out another way of breaking through.
Yeah, and then mm-hmm. we just keep changing.
It's endless. Yeah. There's no end to this.
Yeah, it is a continuous cycle, unfortunately.
Yeah, it has to go in leaps and bounds. Like, you know, there was a time not much more than a dozen years ago when a 256-bit key would have been fine to get mm-hmm. by with. But something like that can be busted in a couple hours now.
Oh, yeah. The computers are getting faster and more complicated, and they can break through this stuff. All right, moving on to our next segment for this evening. Politics, 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 politics. Anonymous, the very nice people out there, don't attack us. Don't shut me down. I'm having enough time staying awake or staying up as it is. I don't think they're even going to bother with me.
They got bigger fish to fry.
They got way bigger fish to fry than me. Little poor old me. They vowed to shut down Fox News, and I am so happy to see that please, Anonymous, if you're listening, and you might be, I don't know. But they're vowing to shut down Fox News. This kind of stuff is like, personally, I'm kind of happy about this because Fox News is a big problem. They send out so much crap and disinformation that it's not even funny. The lies that come out of Fox News, you know, the old saying, you know, the old joke, how can you tell if a politician is lying? His lips are moving. Well, it's the same thing with Fox. Zach, your thoughts?
Well, I'm not a fan of Fox News. I don't watch it. I'm also not a fan of Anonymous.
He's just kidding, Anonymous.
Do what?
Anonymous. He's just kidding. Don't attack. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't like the idea of. I understand what they're doing. They're fighting the bullies, but you don't fight fire with fire. You just get more fire. I'm not very pleased with their actions and their methods. Mm. The video that they made where they're going after Fox and Hannity and all these other people because they're all mean. I don't see this as a solution to our problem. The problem is, it's twofold. It's which came first, the chicken or the egg? Fox News is providing a service. There is an audience out there that is willing to pay to tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
It's not just that they're lying. It is that they are marketing what these people want. They go to Fox. They're not forced to turn to that channel. They have other alternatives. Mm-hmm. There is a large number of people out there that are purposefully going to Fox and watching it regularly because it is giving them the news that they want to hear. It is telling them the stories in the world the way they want to hear them told. And it's a matter of perspective. I don't want to start channeling Eric here, but There are people who listen to Fox. They watch Fox and they don't see that it's a lie. They don't understand that the information is biased.
Yeah,
because they're told they don't say it as much as they used to, but it's unbalanced. How they used to say it, balanced, and
they say it. They do this on the radio show, that fair and balanced.
Fair and balanced, and from their perspective,
we report,
it's fair.
You decide.
Right. They're trying to counter what they see as a liberal way to the left, a major liberal switch, and I can understand that they would have to really pull to the right a lot to try to get what they think is balanced, but it's not. It's just they're showing the other side of the story, another perspective on the same thing, and it's I don't like Fox, but I don't like Anonymous because I don't think either one of them are giving us fair and balanced anything.
No.
We're just getting more mudslinging and more fire, and we don't need that. We need solutions. We don't need more troublemakers. We don't need more problems.
That's interesting. Dan, your thoughts?
I just don't think there's anything to it.
There
is as much to this report about Anonymous vowing to shut down Fox as there was about Anonymous vowing to shut down Westboro Baptist Church.
Well, they've done that. Very true. Haven't they already? Didn't they do that, though?
And Facebook. It It was Westboro that was making the claims about Anonymous was going to do this and that.
Well, there were probably members of Westboro that were also members of Anonymous.
I remember.
I could be saying bad things about Anonymous on purpose so that to draw away the attention that in reality I am actually supporting Anonymous and doing stuff in their benefit. You have no way of knowing.
But if you go over to the boards right now, there's no discussion about Fox. Nobody's
really. Do you think maybe this is a red herring?
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about it.
Yeah. Do you think maybe this is a red herring that maybe Fox is actually doing this to draw? Yeah.
I wouldn't say that necessarily that Fox is doing it, but I would not be surprised at all if one of Breitbart's cronies is doing this. Or like the conservative blogger who was caught in, I don't know if it was Oakland or not, passing out bongs.
Really?
So that someone else that was with him could catch it on film and use it to badmouth the people at the Occupy Oakland or wherever it was. It's all just baiting, and you don't know who is who, because there is no organization. It's like Anonymous or the Occupy movement. You can't say that somebody's not a member because you're a member by saying that you are. Who's to say that conservative blogger was not part of the Occupy Wall Street movement? He was, because he was down there.
Right.
Does he agree with any of their ideals? No.
Right. So it's basically a red herring. This could be a red herring. That's just like
I think so. Yeah. Okay. But half of the stuff that you see that purports to be Anonymous, or rather a larger percentage than that, isn't anything to do with Anonymous.
Yeah. The other thing is though, what they remember, they're attacking. There's someone who was supposed to be for Anonymous that was having a conversation with Westboro Baptist, a woman from Westboro Baptist Church, said, "Yeah, you are not going to hack our systems." And they were talking to her. They actually had hacked their webpage. So, so they actually did do it, but they didn't. That was
small potatoes kind of stuff.
Yeah, they said, "Yeah, we got bigger fish to fry. We were working with Libya and all this other stuff. You're not even on our radar. We don't even care about you." But they're going. She's like, "Yeah, you couldn't hack our systems anyway." Okay, you think so? Boom! And they proved it. They hacked the page, and they say, "Hey, you just because you say we can't, watch. We're just not really worth dealing with. But just to prove our point, we hacked your page." So anyway, moving on to our next part here, governments have been seeking to shut down stuff on YouTube. You know, people put up videos of cops being bad and doing all kinds of weird stuff that they really, and sometimes illegal stuff, and they shouldn't be doing it. The governments have gone to Google and said, "Hey, Google, this is kind of making us look bad. Can you, like, you know, if you got a bad cop on you, like, you know, pull the video for us so people don't think, oh, yeah, so, you know, we look pretty good now, you know." But Google said, "No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to pull these videos. So you can just take your little government-y buildings and go away, because we're not going to do it." Zach, your thoughts?
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if this is a – you can ask. Anybody can ask. Like, say, I read recently that I can't remember her name. There was a celebrity, not a very big name, not a very famous celebrity, but she's over 40 in reality, but she wasn't telling anybody that because she was trying to get roles that were around 20-something.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about this.
And there was a website that put her address – or not her address, put her birth date down. They were just – because they do that for all celebrities. Mm-hmm. And she is suing them now because she says that they are adversely affecting, you know, her getting jobs. Because there's an awful lot of directors that when they find out that you're 40, they don't even look at your headshot.
Yeah.
They don't even pay attention. No matter what you look like in the headshot, they're not going to – they don't care.
Which is kind of stupid, because they're – if look at, like, the movie Cocoon. Mostly old people that were in that one, you know.
Right. Yes, but she doesn't want those kind of parts. She wants ingenue roles. She wants 25-year-old roles, and she's 40. But my point is, anybody can go anywhere on the internet and say, "I don't want you to say this about me. I don't want you to say this about such and such I'm this organization here, and I see that you have videos about that organization, and I don't want you to put it up there. I want you to take it down. You can ask all you want, and there are proper protocols. There's a way of doing that with YouTube. You can put in a request, and it goes up the ranks if it's appropriate.
Right.
But they also have the right to say no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to the old adage of people, when people believe in praying, he's like, you can pray to God all you want, and he'll answer you, and then usually the answer is no. You're not going to get what you want. That's anybody can ask. It's okay to ask. I don't see how it's bad. Would be wrong for a police station not to go to the YouTube and say, you're saying bad stuff about us, please take that down. They're trying to defend themselves. Of course they would. But the answer is still going to be no, because they shouldn't have been doing that.
Yeah,
unless the response is, go ask your mother.
Mommy! Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just it. You can ask, or, you know, you can just, you know, wish in one hand and, you know what in the other, and see which one gets full faster. You know, Google complies with legal requests that have a legal basis. And it's like they said, there were from the United States alone, there were 92 requests for removal. Mm-hmm. And they fully or partially complied with 62% of those.
Yeah. It says, you know, here, that Google...
There were 757 items that were requested to be removed mm-hmm. within 92 requests, and 63% of those were complied with. Yeah. And, you know, if it's illegal, it shouldn't be up.
Yeah.
You know, real simple.
But if they concur with your findings, then fine. They'll do it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Sure. If it's cops in University of Massachusetts got in somebody's face and were cussing at him and saying all kinds of stuff, threatening him with violence because he was taking their picture, well, guess what? You know, that gets to stay up there because that's protected under the First Amendment. You don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy when you're in a public place.
Right.
Unless you're in the state of Illinois, in which case the fascist state government will throw you in jail because it's a felony to record a police officer here.
Right. And yeah, it is actually in Illinois. And and it says here in Thailand, Google was asked to remove 225 videos there. There are people insulting the monarchy, and mm-hmm. Restricted access to 90% of all those videos, which is, you know, people will always complain. I saw this quote on Twitter earlier. The reason why you have freedom of religion is because we have a secular government. If we didn't have a secular government, there would be no freedom of religion. And that's basically the same thing here. They don't have a freedom of government there, so that's why people are not allowed to view these videos, or because they don't want dissension amongst the ranks. China is a big thing like that. Something gets negative about them, they'll block it, and then most of them don't even know about what happened to Tiananmen Square.
You are free to believe what we want you to believe.
Exactly.
That's their form of freedom.
Exactly. Okay. On to our next story here. Give me the news. Now, apparently, this in New York, some people are kind of a little upset with the school system out there because they want to teach a proper sex education course out there. They want them to include that, say, abstinence works. Well, abstinence doesn't work. Look at Texas, that for example. Texas that has the pick Rick Perry, for example, he went on a show and they were asking him about the whole abstinence thing, and he goes, oh, abstinence works. And they said, no, the numbers here perfectly shows that abstinence does not work. You actually have a higher rate, one of the highest rates of pregnancy in the country. And he still kept going, well, abstinence works. Again, no, it doesn't. The numbers don't lie. And that's basically what they were, apparently it says here, the New York Parents Coalition, or Choice Coalition, they wanted to keep people basically from listening to hear, you know, proper sex education. They're doing that here in Wisconsin as well. I just learned recently. They're trying to keep this information out of the classroom. People need to wake up. Sex is natural, and they're going to do it. If you tell them it's bad, it's not going to make a difference to them because they're still going to want to do it. You need to educate. The key is education. Dan, your thoughts?
It's the same old prudes doing the same old thing. Sex is dirty. Sex is nasty. Just don't expect me to say the same thing when I get caught with my rent boy. Abstinence-only education fails.
Yes.
Yeah, like you said, Texas is a very good example of that. Being real and upfront with children is the best way to do it. Lying to them doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah, except for a sexual transmitted disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric, your thought. Eric. Sorry, Zach. Eric, you did it again, Zach.
Channel
Eric, Zach. Channel Eric.
Oh, so bim, love, 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 love. Start speaking in tongues. I. Zach, no one wants to know my. No one wants my sex education class to actually kick in because I think we should start a lot younger. But I don't have a kid. If I had a daughter, I would lock her up in a room and never let her see boys ever.
Boys are bad.
Now, abstinence does work. Speaking as a Texan, I can honestly say that
abstinence works, but abstinence-only education doesn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, as Radamax has said in the chat room, abstinence does work. Teaching it doesn't. If an individual chooses to do abstinence, it does keep you from getting sexually transmitted diseases because you're not having sex, and it does keep you from getting pregnant or causing pregnancy because you're not having sex.
Right.
But abstinence does not work because, for genetic reasons, we are predisposed to have sex.
Right.
Our genetic makeup is built so that we enjoy it a lot, and that is in order to perpetuate the species. It is a requirement. And I think I've gone at length at this before. I'll try not to do it again. I'll just touch on it. The two main things that all profanity and any people that get offended or stuff, the two biggest things are fornication and excrement.
Right.
Two things the human body physically must do in order to survive and perpetuate the species.
Yeah, there are also, so, you know, these people that with abstinent education there, they even don't want you to masturbate either because that's dirty also. Right. And that's actually healthy.
Wasn't there a preacher not too long ago that was saying that that's now, you're now gay? If you masturbate, you're gay because there's not a woman involved.
Yeah, there was
a member of the opposite sex involved in the act.
Wasn't,
so the act is innately homosexual.
Yeah, and there was also what's her name that lost over in the northern states. She ran for Congress, Christine O'Donnell. She's like, guys, masturbate. What am I here for? It's like, really?
I mean, if masturbation is homosexual, then I'm going to have to go to the next St. Patrick's parade because. I just am, but I strongly believe that. Well, not believe. What's the word? I have a working theory that I have yet to be able to actually put into practice. So it's a feeling. I don't actually have any proof of it.
Right.
Because we can't actually in today's current society. I would not be able to say educate 10, 11, 12 year olds. Not in the actual physical. You know, there would be no practicing.
Right.
There I go again. I usually don't use that word. I have a strong feeling that if we started younger with people, maturely educating them on how to approach the concept of sex in your head, then by the time they became of age to actually do it maturely, they would be wise enough on their own to make the choices, the right choices themselves. It's not a belief. It is a feeling that it's a theory that I would like to experiment and see if we can get evidence to support that theory.
Now, that would be interesting to see that in classes.
It's not a belief.
No, it's a theory.
I apologize.
No problem.
One other thing. The group in New York City that is against this, the NYC Parents' Choice Coalition, I just checked out their website and... who is behind the website. It turns out it's a place called the Chiaroscuro Foundation. They have made grants in 5 funding areas: pro-life, education reform, religious liberty, Christian evangelization, and Catholic formation and humanitarian.
So this, so it's wagging it's the dog?
It's a big pro-life, pro-evangelization project from a guy named Sean Feeler and Greg Funstein.
Nice.
So it's a bunch of prudes that are trying to control and manipulate others, a finite number of people that work as a unit trying to use their resources to force other people to act to live life the way on their terms, the way they think
they
are. They are just so upset that someone somewhere is
having
fun,
right?
Yeah.
A trucker is rethinking his next haul after a crash with bees. Now, I don't mean he was driving on the highway and came across a small swarm of them. He was hauling these things. And apparently he was going around a corner, took it a little too fast. Bees and everything went all over the place. I mean, I've hauled a lot of strange things in the time I've been doing. I've never hauled bees, and I hope I never have to. Especially after what had happened to this guy, him and his wife had, after the accident, they got out and they were like swinging at these things because they were attacking them. And this is out in southern Utah, and they had to close off a whole highway and call in a bunch of beekeepers to get these. And by the time they got out there, the bees were mostly either dead or gone. It's like, but they rounded up what they had. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how you round up a bee. I mean, you got the lasso. No, it's smear your face with honey. I really don't know. Zach, your thoughts?
Well, Packard, is my memory correct in that you're a trucker?
Yes. Well, okay. I do. Well, I'm not exactly a trucker, but I do drive a large vehicle.
Have you driven more than 36 hours? Because when I read the article, it said that they had been driving for 36. They were 36 hours into their drive.
They do a swap. They drive for so many hours, and then they drive, and then the other swap partners, and the other person drives. This is commonly done. This is a common practice across the industry.
I understand it's common practice.
Mm-hmm.
I would question whether or not two drivers in a 36-hour period would be able to get sufficient sleep.
Oh yeah, that's because you have to. You're only allowed to drive for 12 hours, and then that's the longest time you can drive. Then you have to be down for 10 hours, and then you have to get, and then the next person can drive, and they can drive in the time the other person is driving. You have to rest. So. Then they can go back and forth, or they do.
And this works on paper.
Yes,
I'm telling you, this does not always work in practice.
Oh, well, I should. Oh no, I know it does not always work in practice because
we don't know enough about the situation. We weren't in the vehicle in 36 hours prior to the accident, but an accident of this nature, if you're driving bees, you have to be a little bit more careful than they're being. And I'm thinking 36 hours into the deal, they weren't being as careful as they should have been.
Yeah, well, it did say they hit a sharp bend in a construction zone, and I've been a person who's driven across a lot of places in the country. You hit a weird construction zone, and it's not hard to have an accident. I've seen a lot of them in construction zones, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard to have an accident in those areas. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, it depends on which set of logbooks you look at, you know.
Yeah.
Truckers will understand that.
Oh, yeah.
It's the pollination industry is big, and it's been hit really hard recently by the colony collapse mm-hmm. that they're still not completely sure about. And it's a very lucrative industry, and millions of bees are transported from place to place. They'll winter in California, they'll spend a season pollinating and go mm-hmm. back and forth again. It's a big industry, and I don't think I've seen anything about a wreck of this size before.
Yeah, they said that the load was worth $116,000. I didn't know bees were worth all that much. You know, I shoo them out of my house. I was like, if I had known that they were worth this much, I'd be collecting them like coins, you know.
Well, that's for 25 million of them.
So. Oh, well.
Right.
Well,
the farmers, they're really useful. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, exactly. They're useful for the farmers, but I mean, I have this thing with insects. I could deal with them on a small scale, you know, one-on-one, but once they get like 10,000 of them, then I start getting a little iffy.
Oh, yeah.
This one I posed to Dan and Zach. before when we even got started on this earlier this week, because this was going to be a fun one. A man's miraculous recovery has led a priest to sainthood. Apparently somebody was healed by touching this guy. No giving any credit to the doctors or anything like that. This guy was in a coma, or he was had some issues, and so someone prayed for him, or they touched a priest or whatever it was they did, and now they think that this guy is healed because of this priest. And they have these after death things where people had someone has died, a priest has died, someone prayed to the priest or whatever they do. I don't know what they do there. But they never give any credit to the doctors. The doctors are the ones. If it weren't for the doctors, this guy would already be dead. They don't think about that. The country is being littered with this crap, and we need to stop. This needs to stop. Really, it needs to stop. Zach, your thoughts?
Well, it's not going to stop. They're going to continue to do this.
Oh,
it's,
I know it will.
Is that the concept of belief? Is that they see reality and they see what they want reality to be, and the two don't gel, so they find ways of making it gel from their subjective perspective.
Yeah.
People, doctors who are believers, they are in the thick of it. They're in the surgery and they're dealing with the patient, and they can't see a solution, and yet the body heals itself.
Right.
Because there are self-recuperative limited abilities that the body itself can do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes this looks like a miracle from their perspective, because they really didn't think that the person was going to be able to make it through. It was 50-50, and he comes out of it.
Yeah.
It must be a miracle.
Yeah,
and the doctors themselves see these sort of things, and they perceive it to be a miracle, but it's not.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's more common than they think. Oh, and Crystal in the chat room says, don't forget the nurses. And yes, they do play a very important part.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's pathetic. How many people did they pray for and use relics of this particular priest where it didn't work?
Yeah, they don't say
that.
You
never hear about that.
That's exactly.
Well, in this case, it didn't work either, but the guy got better.
Yeah.
One of the doctors apparently said that the guy who he was 21 years old, he had a very nasty head injury while mm-hmm. he was rollerblading, and one of the doctors said something about it being the worst head injury he's ever seen. And it's like, well, yeah, until you see a worse one next year.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's people spontaneously recover from these things, and we don't know why, because we don't understand a lot physically about how the brain works.
Exactly.
To say that somebody has a 50-50 chance is like saying there's a 50% chance of the rain. You know how they decide that? They look at the history of the last 10 years' weather and see conditions that were similar to what we have now 50% of the time resulted in rain. So we got a 50% chance of rain.
Hmm.
That's
right.
The way they do the same thing with these guys, giving them a chance for survival.
Right.
People with similar injuries under similar circumstances have actually pulled through 30% of the time. So we're giving him about a 30% chance.
Yes.
And if you're in that 30%, great. If you're not, you're not going to make it.
Exactly. Yeah, right. I would have been
real
more
simple. They're playing the odds, and
but they don't like looking at it as like probability. They don't want to know that it's probability.
No,
they want to feel like something's in control.
Because they want the good old days back, and there never was such a thing as the good old days.
Yeah,
it's always been this bad.
Yeah, that's a lyric from a song from Billy Joel. The good old days weren't always good, and tomorrow isn't as bad as it seems.
Is that exactly. Keeping the Faith? It sounds like
yeah, that's not from Keep. Yeah, that's from exactly.
Yeah. Good song. Good
I
artist.
Love, yeah. Yes. I enjoy Billy Joel very much. I have quite a collection of his myself, because I do enjoy his songs. Let's see. On to our next one here. A taxpayer funded
great artist, bad driver.
Yeah.
There was a little prompt chaos agent on that one.
Oh, there you go. A taxpayer funded crisis pregnancy center tells a Jewish woman she has to convert to Christianity or go to hell. Now, these Republicans, mostly Republicans, are telling where they want to shut down Planned Parenthood and things like that. The ones that are actually doing good work, but they're funding. But they say, oh, well, these crisis pregnancy centers, so they're basically, these aren't crisis pregnancy centers. A woman goes in there looking for help, and they don't know that it's a right-wing pro-life place. And they always tell these women, you got to be a Christian to do this. And if you plus, if you do this, you're going to go to hell. And they give them a whole lot of misinformation. If you get this baby aborted, that you'll never have a baby, you'll get cancer, you'll die in 10 days, whatever lies they come out of their mouth. And this is funded by Dan, by Zach, by me, by you. And these places, we need to stop these places from being funded by us. We need to tell the government, especially Republicans, don't. This is, you're doing more harm than good. This is, it's asinine, and it's utterly ridiculous. Zach, your thoughts?
From their perspective, they're doing exactly what I was saying before. They think from their subjective perspective that everything that they're saying is true. They honestly believe that if this person doesn't turn to Christianity, they're going to burn in hell. They honestly believe that. And we're not able to challenge their beliefs. We don't have the right to do that. But if I don't want my money to go to something like that, then I should be able to make that decision. Tea Party people are saying the same thing. But the end result is we don't give money to the government at all. The government doesn't support charities at all. Doesn't help.
But this isn't a charity. This is a scam, is what it is. It's a Republican scam.
It's a scam, but it's being funded by whom?
Us.
You're saying it's being funded by us. It's being funded by taxpayers.
Right.
So the government is giving them money.
Yes. Well, because Republicans are pushing this stuff through to
right,
these places.
Because they're calling it a charity. They're not calling it a scam. They're not calling it a con.
A lot of the time they're passing regulations or at least attempting to pass regulations requiring women to seek help at a crisis pregnancy center before they're allowed to get an abortion.
Right.
Right.
And they were doing this out in North Dakota or South Dakota. I forget which. Exactly.
And the reason why they're doing that is because the people who are the legislators, who are also believers, sincerely and strongly and firmly believe that they're doing right by those girls because they're trying to make sure that those girls get the best quality care that their God will allow them to provide.
Right.
As long as you are putting religious people in positions of power, this will continue to happen. It's one of the many reasons why I have personally stopped voting, because I'm not seeing atheists on the ballot.
Yeah.
I'm only seeing religious people. There is not a single person in the House of Representatives right now that represents me.
Right.
Is there a single atheist among them?
I don't know. There is one out atheist.
Really? One out atheist. And a whole bunch of other people that just pretend because it was the only way they could get voted. They couldn't get votes. I said on Twitter the other day that if Mitt Romney wants to be able to beat Obama, he's going to have to turn to become a Baptist. He's going to have to renounce his Mormonism. Because here in Texas, I don't see the Southern Baptists and the Methodists and the Catholics here in Texas voting for a Mormon. I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I mean, they were upset with Kennedy because he was Catholic, an awful lot of the Protestants here. I mean, and things haven't really changed here in Texas.
Yeah.
We have not seen the Electoral College. The Texas electoral votes have not gone to a Democrat since Carter. And a big chunk of that is because they're Republican, and the reason why they're Republican is because they believe in a Christian God.
Yeah,
unfortunately. They don't believe in the Mormon God.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's definitely.
As long as you allow religious people to be in Congress and to be in the White House and to be in the Supreme Court, as long as this perpetuates, they're the ones in power. They're the ones going to make the rules, and we're not going to be able to stop that.
Yeah, and I remember a few weeks ago. Well, actually, more a few podcasts ago, you said that Rick Perry would probably get to be president. He's tanking in the polls.
yeah, which is good. That's good to see.
I find that so amusing. I was like, you're like, yeah, he's going to be president. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't call it yet, Zach. I was right.
But I mean, Mitt Romney's not a better choice. He's really
no.
None of them are a better choice.
None
but
of them
I mean.
Are.
If Romney wants to win, the only way he's going to be able to do that is to stop being a Mormon.
Exactly.
I do not see
him. And right now, the one that's in the lead is Kane. Not McCain, but Kane.
Herman Cain?
Herman Cain, yeah.
Herman Cain doesn't really want to be president. He wants to sell books. This is he's like Donald Trump. This is just a marketing
You think campaign. So?
Yeah, it's just a cheap way of making a lot of getting a lot of FaceTime.
Yeah, and he is. If you ever heard the man speak, he is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
He is a joke. Our funny tweet for this evening comes from N2Horsen. That's N, the letter N, the number 2, H-O-R-S-N, and she retweets George Takei. And I generally don't do celebrities, but this was the funniest one I came across. Studies show computer voices are mostly sexy females. It's probably the only way to get them to ask for directions. I'm being a guy.
Cute.
Being a guy, most guys get ribbed on this a lot. That, you know, guys just kind of drive around. They don't ask for directions. If you'd ask my ex-wife, and she would most likely agree that if I get lost, I ask for directions. I always have. But now I've got my GPS, I generally don't ask for directions quite as often. And yes, I have a female voice on there. I've tried to listen to the male ones. It just doesn't like, I feel like I'm being pushed. You know, it's like, you need to turn here. What if I don't want to? You're not my co-driver. Zach, your thoughts?
Mean Fluff just encapsulated it for me. She says George Takei rocks, and I agree. George Takei rocks. Not too long ago, he was talking about how there, for some reason, there were some places in here in America or elsewhere where the word gay was not being accepted.
Mm-hmm.
That people Tennessee. Weren't allowed to say it. Oh, in Tennessee, and so he offered his own name. That if you can't say gay, just say Takei.
Say Takei, yeah.
Just substitute my name and people will know what you're talking about.
I think it was in schools.
Yes, it was in schools.
That they were no longer allowed to say gay. So he said, let them use Takei.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's cool.
There'll be a link at packerpokes.wordpress.com to that video. And all the stories we talked about tonight. And Dan, your thoughts?
Actually, it reminded me. I'm gonna have to try and track this down somewhere. It's been a long time ago since I heard about it. But there was a gender study about the differences between how men and women give and receive geographical directions,
mm-hmm.
and how. The difference is very apparent in that women tend to go more by visual clues, mm-hmm. as far as you go until you see this and then you turn right, and then you go until you see this and then you turn left, whereas men generally will use a system of time or distance to say that you go a mile and a half, and then you turn west, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I always have a problem. I don't know my north from east, from south, or I. You put me in a field, I'm lost. I do that myself. I think more in that line. I've used visual markers. So it's like, oh yeah, it's like, where is this place? You go to my dispatcher and says you got to go over here. It's like, oh, that's over by the Wendy's, or that's over there by the thing there. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I see. That's how I map things in my brain. I was like, if I know where something is, that's why I prefer to have my GPS, because it knows where I am better than I do. Our shout-out this week is from me. Someone I just came across this evening is Pete Nicely, and he goes on the Twitter handle of LOLGOP. I was reading some of his tweets. He kind of attacks the GOP, and he basically says, you know, some stuff that, you know, it's pretty obvious even to them. But, you know, they won't admit it. But he had some pretty funny tweets. I really strongly recommend giving him a follow. Give him a shout-out. Let him know you heard him here on the show on PackerPokeSat. On PackerPokeSat. Then we have our question of the week. Now, we had our replies from last week. And one came in just at the under the wire this evening. Now, first one here is from Gnome Divide. That's N-O-M-E-D-L-I-V-E. And the question of the week last week was, what would you ask Siri? And his answer was, Siri, find me the dream girl. Find me that dream girl of mine that will make me wheel spin forever. Oh crap! It found it. You know, if you're in a Mac, it's the spinning beach ball of death. And the other one came from Joe Unseen, and he goes, to answer my weekly question, I got to ask my friends, Force S. Siri, who does he buy his weed from? And it said, I do not understand the question.
I don't understand the question, man.
And then it like moved its eyes over.
Yeah, it's like, it's over there.
Over there. I don't understand your question, man. There might be cops listening. It's over there. But you didn't hear that from me.
Exactly. Okay, tonight's question of the week. Where did you leave your pants? Zach, where did you leave your pants?
In the hall.
In the hall.
It's where I put all my clothes. It's a pile that builds up every week, and then I go do the laundry. When I can't get through the hall anymore, that's when I start digging.
So you leave your pants there, and then you walk through the rest of the house naked?
Well, I go to the bed.
I didn't know you were a nudist, Zach.
I put the pants in the hall, and then if I left the sweats from last night up on the door, I grab the sweats and put them back on. Or if I had thrown them in the pile, then I go get another pair of sweats. I'm wearing sweats right now.
Okay.
When you say pants, I think I'm assuming you mean pants like
pants,
like
work, you know, pants. Pants, yeah, work pants, stuff you put in your pockets.
Pants or jeans.
Pants, yeah.
Yeah, those go in the hall.
Yeah.
I take them off as I'm walking to the bedroom.
Exactly.
And so the hall's there, and so I just drop them there. I'm into being functional. My life is functional. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's very functional.
Hey, whatever works for you, man. Dan, where did you leave your pants?
I've been informed that the penultimate answer is under your mom's bed.
Ooh! Ooh!
That's a good one. So here, I was going for the real land. I was just answering truthfully, honestly. I didn't even make a joke out of it.
Oh.
Yeah, Chaos Agent 23 has to keep my humor in line.
Yes.
Yeah, because that came from her.
Yeah, there you go. And where did I leave my pants? Wherever I happen to be. Even with a little bit of audio issues and computer issues we had this evening, we're pretty close to being right on time. All right, I want to thank everybody for coming to the chat room tonight. We've actually had a short show for a change.
I can talk more if you want.
No, it's okay.
I got a big mouth.
Well, on that subject of being a big mouth, you can find us all on Twitter. And you can find Zach on Twitter as?
Zach's Mind, that's ZACHSMIND.
Right. And you can find Dan on Twitter as?
Rel Unrelated. It's RELUNRELATED.
Right. And you can find me on Twitter as Packard_Sonic. That's PACKARD_SONIC. You can find the show on Twitter as PackardPokesAt, all one word. You can find the show notes and everything we talked about here tonight at PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com. Did I say dot or dad? I forget.
Dad.
It's dad.
I'm from Boston. It's a dad.
It's Morse code.
Morse code.
All right, and that's at packardpokesat.wordpress.com. Okay, and when you get your answer for the question of the week, where did you leave your pants? Just address it to Dan, Zach, Eric, or myself, or Vonnie. And just attach the hashtag PackardPokesAt question of the week. That's just PPAQAW, not what I had last week. We're still working on a hashtag. I'll get it right eventually.
Dude, you said hashtag.
Hashtag. It's a hash.
I got the munchies.
Lovely. Share some with me. No. That's it for us tonight. This has been Packer Pokeset, and we just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.